What a blessing it is to be with you, friends. Very thankful for everybody who is here. Good number out. Able to assemble today. And we do have visitors, and we're grateful for your presence. And I do want to commend you for just your faith and dedication. We had a really good meeting, I believe, with our brother Paul Earnhardt. It was a very uplifting, insightful, really helpful time with him and his wife, and very grateful the Lord allowed us to be together. And I'm thankful for the good support that those who could did put forth, and I know we did what we could, and I'm grateful for that. And a lot of good spirit, good attitude here, good dedication. And I'm grateful for you, friends, and good comments in class today, in fact. And so it's just a real blessing that we have this time together, and I'm so delighted the Lord has shared it with us. And hopefully we can say some things from His Word that will help us draw closer to Him and live this week as if it is our last, and live this week with wisdom and dedication to Him. I want to read a lesson for you from Genesis chapter 5, a story that God has preserved for us to no doubt benefit from in our own devotion to Him. And it says in Genesis chapter 5, in describing this person, how he was able to leave this world without dying. And it says in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, we have to appreciate just how profound this is. Because the Bible's stating here, and if you want to get real technical about it, it's stating that there have only been two people in the history of mankind to enter Hades without dying. That is, people who have left this world without dying. And that is here, Enoch, as stated, and then the other would be Elijah the prophet, who was ascended into heaven in a chariot, is what the Bible says. But everyone else got to Hades, the realm of departed spirits, by death. Even Jesus had to die to get there. And so this is special, that here of one of two people out of the billions of people who have existed, only two left this world without dying. And this was one of them. So this is a very special guy. This is somebody who accomplished something profound in his time on earth. And it says that he was able to walk with God. He walked with God. The Bible teaches that we can either walk in our own ways, Acts 14 and verse 16, or we can walk worthy of the Lord, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. And what this concept means is, of course, in defining our life, whatever time we have on earth, whatever length of stay we have here, and the breath we have, the choices we have, what this says is that you are either going to be a person who uses those abilities to serve yourself, or you're going to use those abilities to serve your Creator. And as we see from Enoch, it is possible for us to make the right choice. It's possible for us to walk with God. Now notice the language again. It's not talking about visiting God. Okay? It's not about thinking of God every once in a while. This is a person who lives with God. Okay? A person every day that he is given breath and given life, every day he opens his eyes and observes the world, he dedicates it to God. Now what Enoch shows is you can do that, and I can do that. It's possible for us to have that wisdom. It's possible for us to have that conviction, that dedication, and especially that love for God. We can do that. And what I believe we can learn from this man is that very first point, that we're able to do this. We're capable of walking with God. Not only because we have the ability to choose, but especially because God has given us the ability as sinners to have fellowship with Him. The Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 9 that God has made it possible for people who have not walked with Him, who have walked in their own ways, which we all have done, and even Enoch did at one time. I'm sure he would agree he was a sinner. But he was able to turn away from his sin and walk with God. Well, the Bible teaches that we have a greater advantage than he had, and that the blood of Christ can forgive us of sins now, and that we can be restored in our relationship with God now and be born again in our relationship with him now. We can do that. The blood of Christ makes that possible. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner, yet we can all walk with God. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible teaches that the blood is powerful enough to save us. In verse 24, it says, beginning, Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true. And he's just comparing the old temple to the new spiritual temple in heaven. And he says, he hasn't entered that which was made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ also was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. A lot of stuff there, a lot of good stuff there that we could camp out on, but I want us to see the point, okay? The point is, his blood is powerful, okay? I don't deserve it, you don't deserve it, I don't fully understand it, you may not fully understand it, but the bottom line is, God has provided a way for sinners to be saved. And that sacrifice, which we just remembered, is enough in God's mind to redeem sinners like us. So what's that mean? Well, what this means is we can boldly go before the throne of grace. What it means is sinners like us can ask for mercy. If we are in this covenant with God through Christ and his blood has been applied to our soul, we can be forgiven. And since we can be forgiven, that means that there is no reason why in this world we should not walk with God. There's no reason why. That blood is powerful. And it saves people like you and like me. And so I need to trust that. I need to put my faith in that. And as a result, I need to walk with God. That's how Enoch did this. How did he do it? He had faith. He trusted God. He trusted God. He trusted God. And I need to trust God. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. Okay, you didn't have a grave site for Enoch. There is no tombstone for Enoch. Nobody buried Enoch. He was not, it says, he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It's possible for sinners to do that. But it's done by faith. Trusting God. Our brother read a while ago in Hebrews 11 that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, I believe in God. I've never seen him. But I believe, based on what I can see in creation and in my own body and mind, certainly an intelligent person made this world that we live in. I believe in him. It's too orderly. Look at this building. Did somebody make this building or did it just form? Did somebody just form this table or did it come up on its own? Did somebody put the wires in this building or did they come up on their own? Obviously, design reveals a designer. Well, I can see in the world that somebody had to make this profound experience we're a part of. I believe in him. But he says, it's not just that, having enough faith to see that. I have to go all the way over and trust him completely, knowing that if I seek him with all of my heart, he will come to me, and he will be found by me, and he will reward those who diligently seek him. That's done by faith. And what I want us to see is that we as sinners are capable of doing that. We may not have in times past, but the blood of Christ is sufficient to save us, and we have to trust that. We have to trust that God has provided a way for us to be redeemed from our wickedness. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, I read for us what Paul said about the blood. in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 that this is a faithful saying. You can put everything in this is what that means. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save you, to save sinners, of whom I am chief, said Paul. To save sinners, to save you, to save me. And so I need to believe that. I can walk with God. I remember many, many years ago meeting with a girl who was brought up attending services and attending a place where the truth was taught. But she had reached a point where she did not want any part of that. Okay, and we went to go talk to her. And as we're visiting with her, she basically made this observation. She just says, it's impossible for heaven. You make one little mistake and God is ready to send you to hell. This was her conclusion, she was saying. Now, obviously, there are many reasons why a person would think like that. Maybe she was trying to justify her sin. People do that, right? People will try to spin it in such a way where, you know, hey, I want to do right, but God just is ready to send me to hell. But let's just assume it's a sincere conclusion. That there's this belief that God is just ready to pounce on us and ready to throw us into hell. Obviously, that's inconsistent with everything we can see in the Word of God. But it gets back to what, friends? It gets back to trust. And as Paul said here, it's a faithful saying. He came to save sinners. He doesn't take delight in the punishment of the wicked. God doesn't rejoice in the destruction of the soul. He wants sinners to be saved. And we have to trust that. We have to trust Him. And as a result of walk with Him. And so we're able to do that, friends. There is no reason why in this world none of us should be, all of us should be walking with God is what I mean to say by that. We all can do it. Let me point out a second thought, please, if you will. From Enoch, what we can see about walking with God is it's not based on age. Now, I say that because when you go back and you look more closely at the life of Enoch, now granted, the man did live 365 years, okay? So that is a long time. Okay? We understand that. But you have to appreciate the fact that he got gypped compared to the way people were living back then. 365 years was short. That was a short life. Because if you look at his father, and then you look at his son, Enoch got gypped. Now here's why I say that. You go back to Genesis chapter 5, and you look in verse 20, and then in verse 27, and what you see is that Enoch's father, Jared, lived 962 years. And then Enoch's son, Methuselah, was the oldest man ever to live, 969 years. Okay, and these are both stated there in Genesis chapter 5. So in comparison to what people were living back then, Enoch was a third, okay, of what people had back then. But nowhere does it say Jared walked with God. Nowhere does it say Methuselah. To have more days than anybody else in the world, nowhere does it say he walked with God. And yet Enoch did. And what we can see from that, good friends, is that walking with God is not based on time. You may live a third in comparison to the way other people are living, but it gets back to the point of whether or not you will choose to walk with God. Whether or not you will be a person who wants to have this relationship with Him. And you don't have to be old to do this. Young people can walk with God. You go back through the Bible, and there's some profound stories in the Bible, and one of them is when these young Hebrews were taken away into Babylonian captivity, and the time came when the king of Babylon was commanding everybody to bow down to this golden image. And everybody was doing this, including the captives among the Jews, the Israelites, except for three people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king was saying, look, if you don't do this, I'm going to burn you alive, which is by far the worst way to die. Nobody wants to burn alive. I mean, you go back to 9/11, you know, when those buildings were on fire, people were jumping out of 100 stories and up because they would rather die like that than being burnt to death. Nobody wants to burn to death. And that's what this king was saying to them, that if you don't bow down, I'm going to burn you, and I'm going to crank this oven up, and you are going to regret your decision. And their response was what? Now, these are young people. Their response was, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." And that's another great story you can read of how the Lord delivered these people. But you see the point, I hope, and that is, here are young people. Okay, you don't have to be an old person to have this kind of faith. Young people can have this conviction and this wisdom. And that's what I see from Enoch. Enoch was able to walk with God, and it was not based on age. It's based on desire. Do you have wisdom? Do you have this conviction to use this one and only life you have in service to your Creator in the only opportunity you'll ever have to do it? You'll never have another chance to live for God like you do right now. And so it says in James chapter 4 and verses 7 through 10, God's promise to us is that if you want to be close to God, He'll be close to you, but you have to make the first move. You have to work. Through 10, therefore, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. That's a promise. You can trust that. And you can know he is ready to do that for you. So walking with God, it's not based on age. I can do that right now, no matter how old I am. The second point, or the third point, I should say, is that walking with God is rooted in affection. Okay? At some point in Enoch's existence, he had seen enough and heard enough about God to know, okay, I love this person. I love my Creator. And he wanted to be with his Creator. And they did spend time together on an intimate level. The Bible teaches in 1 John chapter 4 that you have to have that same mindset. In 1 John chapter 4, we have to have enough sense to reach the same conclusion, because it says in 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. And so it's about love. Why do we assemble? We went through some really good things this morning about why we should assemble. But we assemble ultimately because of our love for God, devotion to Him. We love Him. He wants us to do it, and so we do this to draw closer to Him. That's how we honor Him. Now, I came across something years ago, and I have not found anything better to describe this scene with Enoch and God than what I found by Andrew Bonner in describing this. And this is found in The Men of the Bible, the book Men of the Bible by Lockyer. Okay? And here's what he said. Andrew Bonner has the sweetest suggestion that God and Enoch were in the habit of taking a long walk together every day, and that one day God said to his companion, "Why go home? Come all the way with me." Thus, at 365 years of age, a year for every day of our year, God took his servant directly to heaven. That's a neat thought. And I don't know if it's too far off from what really happened. Something was special here, where God said to Enoch, "Come with me. Your time on earth is over. Don't go home. Come with me." And again, in a technical sense, it's not heaven, but it's paradise, really, is where the departed spirits go who are right with God. And so he was taken. He was taken from this earth because of the relationship he had with God. You can have that. I can have that. Now, he hasn't promised to remove us in that manner. I mean, obviously, we're either going to die or we're going to be here when the Lord returns in the clouds and we'll rise up to be with him, is what the Bible says. But this man was granted this opportunity, and you and I can do that if we love our God and spend time with him. Spend time with him on a daily basis. Pray without ceasing. Keep praying. Keep praying is what that means. Keep talking to God. Or spend time with God by listening to his word. We walk by faith. Well, how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, right? Yes. And hearing by the television. Right? Hearing comes by the bus driver. No, hearing comes by the word of God. So if you want more faith, what do you have to have? More time with this word. More knowledge, more understanding, more intimacy with God. That's how faith comes. And when we have a stronger faith, guess what? We have a stronger relationship. We have more intimacy with our God, and we are on our way to heaven. In Psalm 119, the Bible teaches that that's why God gave us his word, is so that we might have this closeness with him, that we might have the pure mindset he desires of us. In Psalm 119, the Bible says in verses 161 through 168, princes persecute me without a cause. Well, do you know anything about that? Living as a godly person in this world, where people hate you unjustifiably. Do you understand that? Well, yes, that's what this writer's saying. Look, they hate me even though I haven't done anything to deserve that. They hate me without a cause. But my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word. And as one who finds great treasure, I hate and abhor lying. But I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. That's somebody who's walking with God. Somebody who understands that, and understands it's done through the Word of God. I remember this godly man I knew who's dead now, but I knew him way back in the day. And, you know, whenever you would go to a gospel meeting at other churches, okay, he was always there. He was just always visiting, okay, active guy. Even as a widower, he was doing this. But we were talking one time, and he said that he read through the Bible four times a year. That's how much time he spent in the Word of God. That's a lot of reading. But every day, he would spend time reading that word. Every day, every day. Year after year after year after year, he kept reading it. And I have no doubt that he left this world prepared to meet his God. Walking with God is not going to be an accident. It's going to be a result of what? Of people choosing God. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. You don't want me? Well, then we can't be near to one another. So I have to draw close to God if I want to be close to him. I have to. And he's given me the ways to do that, and certainly the hope to do that. Let me say one last thing, if I may. Walking with God is based on agreeing with God. And that's what it says in Amos. Okay, this great verse in Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. I know you're struggling. I struggle too. But here we are in Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Amos, okay, page 1058 if it helps you any. That's where I'm at. So, Amos, this great statement from this prophet, says in verse 3, chapter 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Okay? Well, we understand that. Okay? There's no way you and I can go in the same direction for the same purpose unless we're on the same mission. We agree. But notice how God wanted this with his people. That's what he's saying in this context. That God was wanting his people to lock arms with him, to be in agreement with him. in verse 1 and verse 2, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." And he's simply stating, you're my people. I blessed you. I made you. But I'm going to punish you because you haven't been obedient. Okay? Can two walk together unless they agree? And so God was wanting his people to be in agreement with him. After hearing all this, if I don't walk with God, why is that? What's the issue? And it could be the issue is I don't want to live the way God wants me to live. Well, that can be my prerogative, but it won't result in me being intimate with God. If I want to walk with God, then I have to agree to walk with him the way he is. Be holy as he is holy. Pure, upright as he is. That's what that means. And so it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We have to join him in being committed to uprightness and purity and asking him to help us do that, really. And then we shall understand him. 1 John 2 and verse 6. That was 1 John 1 and verse 6. But 1 John 2 and verse 6 says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked." And so we need to be people committed to that righteousness. So I thank you, friends, for considering these thoughts this morning. Are we walking with him? I hope we are. Enoch did. And it's a tremendous thought that we can accomplish the same thing in our life because we're all capable of doing this. There's no reason why we can't. It's not based on age. It's based on affection. And it's based on agreement. And we hope that you will do that this day. Could be that you're here, you're not a child of God. We always like to give people an opportunity to obey the gospel if they have not. And if you understand that salvation is in the Lord and the only way to get in the Lord is by obeying his gospel, then we hope you will do that this day. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, is what Jesus says, and we're placed in him, Galatians 3:27, as a result of that obedience. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we hope you will respond. If you need to do things to make things right with your Creator as an erring saint, then please do so as we stand and sing.